have a seat there? Just have a seat there. Thank you. This is a moving story that Teresa read. And you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do for some of you today and what he did for me? It's going to free some of you today. When Teresa first read that story to me a few years ago, and it meant so much to her that I bought her a picture of that scene of just hanging in our family room. And I asked her a question. I said, why did that woman do what she did? And you remember your answer? Mm-hmm. What was your answer?
She couldn't not do it.
She couldn't not do it. It was automatic. One of the phrases in that story that we need to pay attention to, the woman does this thing, and Jesus says to Simon, he says, therefore, because she did this thing, he says, therefore, her sins have been forgiven. Were her sins forgiven because she did that thing? No. Jesus says, that tells me something about her. You see, because she did that, it tells me something about her. I can see by her actions that her sins have been forgiven because people who have had their sins forgiven act a certain way. They can do nothing else. It wasn't how she got in. It showed that she was in. That's called a reflex. Teresa, would you mind crossing your legs? Okay. Reflex. Now, the way a reflex works, Teresa, is that you need to think about something else. Don't think about white elephants. What are y'all thinking about right now? White elephants. Okay, so just relax. Okay. See that? Okay, very good. Does that hurt?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You're done.
How about my reflex?
They were good. Your reflexes were totally normal. Now let me tell you what that's used for. I use it every day in my office. You've all had reflex checks, right? A reflex isn't, and keep thinking about the woman and crashed the party, what she did, and what it told me. What did that just tell me? A reflex is an automatic response. You don't think about it. In medicine, we use reflexes to evaluate the health of the nervous system. Now, what happened there with Teresa, and the reason it reacted immediately, is it bypasses, a reflex bypasses your cerebral cortex, bypasses your head. You don't have to think about it. That's why it's so fast. The reflex is an arc. There's an arc between when I hit the tendon, there are little organs in there called Golgi tendon organs. And when a tendon is stretched, which is what I just did with that hammer, I stretched that tendon, the Golgi tendon organs send an impulse into the spinal cord. Okay? From the tendon to the spinal cord. The spinal cord reacts immediately back to the muscle and tells the muscle, hey, the tendon is being stretched. You have to react to that, and you have to do it darn quick. So the muscle reacts immediately. The brain does not even get involved. The upper brain doesn't get involved. It tells us the health of the peripheral nervous system. The arc. Remember that word. The arc is working. It's a feedback system. Here, here, here. It's a three-point system. If that's not there, if I did that and that's not there, there's some pathology. Something is blocking that arc. Now, there's any number of things that can block the arc neurologically that cause the reflex not to respond. But something's wrong if that doesn't happen, because it should happen automatically. What's the test medically? It's a hammer on a tendon. Now there's also a reflex that evaluates, I want you all to absolutely key in. You know that this was so freeing for me, and I'm very passionate about it. Had an experience with a man last night who is a prisoner of unforgiveness. And boy, you talk about body language. And then I have encounters with people who are all about forgiving. And you talk about body language again. This is going to free some of you today. Because there's a reflex that evaluates the health of your relationship with God. If healthy, just like that tendon, it can do nothing else. The muscle reacts to that test because it's a consequence of a healthy nervous system. It's not thought about. It's not planned. It's a consequence. There's a consequence. There's something that you can do nothing else that will be automatic as a consequence of a healthy relationship that you have with God. If it's not there, there's a pathology. There's something blocking the arc. The arc should be, just like the neurological arc, the arc should be you, think of a triangle, you, God, back to another person. That's the arc. You, God, back to another person. If there's something blocking that, your response will not be automatic. You will do something else. There'll be another consequence. And what's the test? Yes, I prepare these messages with trepidation because God always puts me through an object lesson of what I'm about to talk about, and it's always painful. What's the test? We had a test with a reflex hammer. What's the test of the your health, this would be interesting to you, I think. What's the test of your healthy relationship with God? How willing are you to forgive those who have wronged you? And not only forgive, it gets tougher. How willing are you to lovingly forgive those who have wronged you? In the parable that we're studying in Matthew, and that's a tough parable, and that's why I'm spending some time on it, because we have to do business with this theology. Whether we like it or not, we have to do business. Jesus calls it forgive, and he said not only forgive, he said forgive from the bottom of your heart. That's the test. If you don't have it, if you don't pass it, there's a pathology. Something's blocking the arc between you, God, and the other person. You have your devotionals? Pick up your devotionals. I want you to look at the back here. Okay, we divided this. Nathan, thank you. Divided it into three sections. Okay? This is something you might want to write on your devotional. If you do discipline study during the week, if you do that, this is not a bad guide. This top part here, see this? Top. That is a breathtaking experience. That is the forgiveness, I will say the repentance, you might want to write repentance/forgiveness experience right here. Top. Breathtaking. Look what this guy, he owed millions of dollars, and the king completely cancels the debt. Now, let's go to the bottom section. Bottom section down here. Another breathtaking experience. Breathtaking possibility. This bottom thing can happen according to Matthew's Jesus. This is a possibility. The story doesn't end at the top paragraph. The story goes on. Now, that's the possibility. Look at the middle. There's the test. There's where your reflex is tested. That's it. Everything depends. Listen, I'm the sentinel. I've heard this. I'm passing it on. Everything depends on this middle paragraph. What you do in this middle paragraph. This middle paragraph tells whether the top paragraph was the real deal for you or not. This middle paragraph tells whether the bottom paragraph is going to be the deal for you or not. Ever and always, remember my little phrase. It's not how to get in. It shows who is in. Teresa did not muster up that reflex. She could do nothing else because she has a competent, healthy nervous system. If you have genuinely repented and genuinely been forgiven, you will be genuinely forgiving. You can do nothing else. That's the reflex. That's the arc. That's the test. The Pharisee in that story thought he was forgiven little. How about you? How much have you been forgiven? You think a little? Who was worse in the story? Who sinned more in the story? The Pharisee or the harlot who crashed the party? Who did Jesus look on more favorably? Who did Jesus say was in? The reason the Pharisee, and maybe Tim Davis at one time, but I had my Nathan experience like David had, I don't really need to be forgiven that much. I didn't do that much. The Pharisee had the opinion, well, he didn't need that great of forgiveness, therefore Jesus didn't mean that much to him. The forgiveness experience didn't mean that much to him. You know what the pathology is? If you're not forgiving, and not only forgiving, but lovingly forgiving from the bottom of your heart, here's the pathology. A superficial repentance / forgiveness experience. How much did this top paragraph mean to you? How much? Was it breathtaking? Do you think back on that experience and fall to your knees in gratitude? Do you look back on your forgiveness, repentance experience and say, like David in the 32nd Psalm, where he pours out his heart to God and he says, I deserve nothing but condemnation and God has forgiven me. There's one thing that Jesus made clear in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I'm speaking to both ends of the spectrum today. I'm speaking to the spectrum over here, the Pharisaic spectrum that I really don't need that much forgiveness. I didn't do that much. I'm pretty good. I'm actually a pretty good person. And then the other end of the spectrum would be the harlot end of the spectrum who has done a lot of grievous sins. Jesus made this clear in the Sermon on the Mount. If you've thought it and you have an inclination to do it, and if you had the opportunity, you would do it, you're just as bad as the person who's done it. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You've heard it said that if you murder somebody, you deserve to lose your life, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, but I say to you, if you even hate, that's what we're talking about, forgiveness. If you even hate, you've murdered. With those parameters, who has not been forgiven much? Who has not? Who does not deserve condemnation? Who does not? Who has not sinned greatly? And then here's a question for you. Who do you need to forgive? How are you doing with the middle paragraph in your life? How about yourself? Forgiving yourself? How's the arc in your life? What I've discovered through this study, you know, we think that forgiving somebody is so magnanimous of us, and we're really letting somebody off the hook, and how gracious of me to be that forgiving person. It all makes sense to me now. The fifth beatitude makes sense to me now. Blessed are the merciful, because they will receive mercy. The Lord's Prayer, the fifth petition, makes sense to me now. Forgive us, Lord, with the same way that we forgive others. When I forgive, and you forgive, they're healed. Remember the ark. I'm healed. I'm free. Teresa, Katie, Vika, and myself, I don't think any, are involved in healthcare. You know what's rewarding? To participate in someone's healing. Vika, you'll discover that. You know who benefits? Do you know what I get out of it when someone comes into me and says, "You helped me when nobody else could"? They've benefited. Do you see that boomerangs back to me? I actually gain something from that. I get vicariously a bit of their healing. This is powerful. It comes back to me. Blessed are the merciful, because then they receive mercy. The mercy that you extend to others when they've wronged you and they don't deserve it. The mercy you extend to them spills over and out of them and echo chambers back into your life. When I'm not forgiving, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Guess who's miserable? I am. Everything depends on how. Everything depends on what your repentance, forgiveness experience meant to you. Was it superficial? Well, that wasn't so bad. That was easy. Well, is that all I have to do? Well, that's it. I'm done. Shakespeare. That which is easily come by is lightly esteemed. You know what that means? If it was easy for you to get, it means very little to you. If that top paragraph was easy for you to get, and here's my thing about repentance, and you're listening to one who's been there to hell and back with this experience. Repentance is the hardest thing you will ever do. And when you've done that, the experience is breathtaking, and you can do nothing else except extend loving forgiveness to others. Why did the Samaritan stop and help the beat up? No, the Samaritan was beat up on the road. Why did the man stop and help him? And the Levi and the priest go right on by? Because that man, that Samaritan, saw himself in the beat up traveler. Why are you going to forgive those who have wronged you? Because you've done worse. And if you don't think you've done worse, there's the pathology. But God doesn't want us to go around feeling bad about ourselves. That's not the point. David had led the nation. He sins grievously, and he goes on blithely, unaware of what he did, until Nathan comes and says to him and gives him the awakening word. We all need an occasional awakening word. We need the Holy Spirit to hold up a very generous mirror to ourselves. You ever have it happen? Well, you know, that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. Teresa and I say it all the time. The Holy Spirit, he's inexorable. He's relentless. And the closer you are to him, the quicker he gets you, the quicker he reminds me. When I'm tempted to be critical about somebody, and I am, the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute. How can you possibly judge them? Look at thus and so. You know what that does for me? You know what it did for me this week? Freed me. I participated in the healing of another and gained healing in my life. Isn't that just how God would work? Isn't that just kingdom for you? You got anybody you need to forgive? You don't forgive them, two people are in prison. That's what this parable teaches us. The one you don't forgive, and you. You choke off God's forgiveness when you don't forgive. You choke it off. Now, when the servant got outside, middle paragraph, back of your bulletins. Now, when the servant got outside, he's done. He got outside. He's off the hook. He's outside of the forgiveness experience. So are you. You've had your forgiveness repentance experience, okay? You are now outside of that. What are you going to do with it? What's he do with it? What did it mean to him? How does he do with this test? He told the king he's going to pay back everything, and he owed millions. Either he's completely naive about the extent of his debt, or he doesn't get it. He doesn't know what just happened. He doesn't think he owed a lot of money. You're outside your forgiveness experience, and this fellow is, and certainly, after being forgiven millions of dollars of debt, the king said, not only did he release him from prison, not only did he free him, he also forgave the entire debt. Wow, that's breathtaking. This guy's going to react in kind because it's breathtaking. So he gets outside. Remember, everything depends on how you respond in this middle paragraph, and that's where we live. We live in the middle paragraph. The final paragraph may be coming, depending on what you're doing in the middle paragraph. It's not how to get in. It shows who is in. Is the reflex there for him? When he got outside, I'm off the hook. I said what I needed to say. I've been forgiven. Cool. Look what he did. He goes and hunts down someone who owes him money. What? He found. He's on the hunt. Hey, speaking of debt, this guy owes me some money. That reminds me. He found one particular fellow servant who owed him several hundred dollars. Well, he owed several million. This guy owes him several hundred dollars. What did he do for the king? He fell down before the king, remember? He fell down. He was reverent, and he begged forgiveness. The king's heart went out to him. The king freed him from prison, and the king did more than he asked. He said, debt cleared. You're done. Debt's over. What's he do? He found one particular fellow servant. How do you do? How do I do with this? Grabbed him by the neck. Not only grabbed him by the neck, he's choking him. And he said, you pay back everything you owe me. Who's miserable here? Hey, you know, I think it comes down to this, and I'm not a mental health care expert, but I live with one. That's a double-edged sword, too, by the way. Who's miserable here? If I have to keep tabs, do you get tired of that? You keep a ledger of who's wronged you, and therefore, they're going to get it. Therefore, they're off my list. Therefore, I'm done with them. And you keep a mental list of that, and you decide who's right with you and who's wrong with you. You know, Jesus made it clear when he said, offenses will come. You're going to be offended. People are going to sin against you. People are going to hurt you. People are going to wrong you. Stop keeping the list. Because you can't control that. That's stressful. I don't want to keep a list anymore. I don't want that. That's stressful. He's miserable. Grabbed him, choked him. You pay back everything you owe. Then his fellow servant does exactly what he did before the king. Look at this. The fellow servant fell down on his face, pled with him, please have patience with me, and I'll pay you back. And then I circled this phrase, because this is pursuant to Teresa and Katie's class on Dallas Willard Renovation of the Heart. They talked about the will. Look at the problem here. What's the problem? But he wasn't willing to do that. The reflex wasn't there. There's a pathology. Something's blocking the ark in his life, and it may be blocking the ark in your life, and you're the loser. You keep playing those tapes of what somebody did to you. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Because God wants you to be healed. And you participate in their healing. Blessed are the merciful, because they're going to receive mercy. Don't you want mercy? How freeing would that be for you? Mercy. But he wasn't willing to do that. Why? What was the problem? Teresa and Katie, what's the problem? His heart. His heart. There's the block. There's the pathology. That's what's blocking that reflex. Well, wait a minute. He just had that breathtaking experience of forgiveness. Of course his heart has changed. But he wasn't willing to do that. And he responds. He hauls him off, number one, and throws him in prison, number two, until he paid back everything that he owed. Why did he do that? Because that which is easily come by is lightly esteemed. Was your repentance forgiveness experience breathtaking? Was the top paragraph in this story breathtaking? And how are you doing in Act 2 of your life? How are you doing with that middle paragraph? Here's so you don't leave thinking that you think that Tim Davis has this all down and that I forgive everybody immediately, that I have that reflex? Well, I do not. And to my shame, I have it. I don't have it as much as I certainly should. But here's what the Holy Spirit does for us, and he does for me. Like Nathan, you're the man. Remember? David's ready to drop the hammer on this would-be story that Nathan tells him. Nathan says, David said, I'm going to nail that guy. And Nathan says, you're the man. Spirit ever done that to you? You got someone that you're holding a grudge against and you're not going to forgive? You better know that you're the man. You're talking about yourself. Here's the problem that I see. Here's what we've relegated repentance to. See what he did here? This servant had it all down. When repentance is a careful, sold as, and our churches do this, God help us, you know, I've heard this over and over again. When repentance is sold as a carefully crafted verbal theater, well, I said something, and I must have said it very eloquently and very well, because God was so impressed with the way I verbalized that apparently he forgave me. I did a good job there. Who's that all about? Who's the hero in that scenario? I am. You are. That's not breathtaking. When it's that, instead of what God did to change my heart, that's breathtaking. Here's what happens. I've seen this over and over in churches. Got, well, I suppose 60 years experience in the church. Have you ever seen a prideful arrogance among church people? A prideful arrogance? That's what this guy's demonstrating. A prideful arrogance. I'm pretty darn good. I've been forgiven. I did everything right. I did everything God asked. He's really impressed. Prideful arrogance. Now, where's that guy who owes me? I've seen that in church people over and over. It's sad. You've seen it too, haven't you? We'll lighten it up here a little bit. This was written to Trace and me by a little boy in our home. You want to talk about a carefully crafted verbal technique. Been punished for, well, what was it, Tor? He was a little boy. Beg your pardon, Tori, for bringing this. But Teresa showed me this, and I said, wow, that's a great example. Here's the reasons that this little boy should be forgiven. He has six things. Number one, it's been a while. I don't know. That's number one reason. It's been a while. The punishment. Number two, I've come home at 3 o'clock every day. Number three, I haven't yelled or gotten in a fight lately. I've learned my lesson. Number four. Number five, spring break's coming. Number six, I want to have fun. That's a carefully crafted verbal theater, but, and Tori was a little boy. What was missing here?
Repentance.
I'm really sorry for what I did. No, he gave, you see, that's, God help us, that's what we can do with our repentance. See, Tori, as a little boy, thought, if I just say the right phrases, that then I'll be forgiven. We teach that. Here's what you need to say. And we even tell you what to say and the order in which to say it. You do that, you're forgiven. That's a carefully crafted verbal theater. It is not repentance. It is not breathtaking. and it creates a prideful arrogance. He fails. The reflex isn't there for this servant. He fails miserably. Act 3 is coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this message. Bless your words. Free some here today, Lord, held in that prison. Amen.